This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, February 27th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear from some Illinois businesses who are already pushing for exceptions to the state's smoking ban. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. They rejected previous attempts, and now they did it again. Tuesday, a bipartisan legislative panel handed Governor Ron Blagojevich's health coverage expansion another defeat. Amanda Vinicky has more.
During the hearing, Director of Healthcare and Family Services Barry Merrim explained why giving state-subsidized health coverage to more people is so important.
These people are the people over $38,000 a year, but obviously don't have health insurance through their employer most of the time. So these are people who are working every day, playing by the rules, but don't have the access to a group policy.
But members of the panel weren't persuaded, and Merrim left the hearing refusing to comment. Lawmakers say they agree with Merrim and his boss, Governor Blagojevich, that health care is important. But they say the administration hasn't answered important questions, such as how cash-strapped Illinois could afford it. Despite the panel's rejection, Blagojevich is enrolling people in the family care program. His office says more than 3,000 people are already signed up. Some legislators say that unilateral action's illegal, an argument which is pending in court. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The Chanute Air Museum is in danger of closing in about a month after a loss of state grant money and months of declining attendance. Operators of the Rantoul facility and former Air Force Base have issued a letter to its members and appeal on its website with hopes of raising about $24,000. Museum President Jim Eldridge says Chanute didn't get a $35,000 state grant last August, so the museum was forced to spend about that much of its own money to publicize last year's air show. A spokeswoman for Illinois' Department of Tourism, Emma Douglas, says Chanute was to send the state a withdrawal letter for the 2007 grant in order to resubmit the grant application for this year. But Eldridge says that would send the impression the museum doesn't want the money. The state claims both applications are still under review. Eldridge also says operating a nonprofit without continued backing has always been difficult.
It's always been kind of hand-to-mouth. And our problem is, you know, some of us are not very well versed in reaching the kinds of sources that we need. We need sustained support, like, you know, some company or group that gives us a yearly amount that we can count on. And that's the area we've never really been able to crack.
If the museum can raise enough money prior to April, Eldridge says a couple of events that month should help the museum recoup some money. Chanute has 5 paid employees, but one of them, Executive Director Hal Lobach, has worked the last few months without earning a salary in an effort to keep the facility open. The University of Illinois says it's already resolving problems that led to a big deficit in its utility budget last year. An annual state audit criticizes the way the U of I monitored and reported its spending on utilities. The report says those shortcomings in an unnecessarily complex accounting system helped send the university-wide utility budget to a nearly $118 million deficit, which U of I spokesman Tom Hardy says the school is working to reduce. In the meantime, Hardy says policies have changed too.
The university concurs with the Auditor General recommendations and is implementing a new financial administration organization and tighter practices to ensure that this doesn't happen again.
Hardy says the red ink was caused by not just substandard financial practices, but by the big jump in utility costs over the past 5 years. The chancellor of the University of Illinois' main campus came to the Champaign City Council last night asking them to do what they could to control this weekend's unofficial St. Patrick's Day celebration. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Chancellor Richard Herman had nothing nice to say to the council about unofficial St. Patrick's Day, an unsanctioned campus event known for its unbridled student drinking.
An occasion that has no meaning other than to soil our campus and lower community standards.
Herman noted the increase in underage drinking citations and hospitalizations at last year's unofficial. More restrictions and a greater police presence are planned for this weekend's unofficial St. Patrick's Day. But Herman says the event itself is growing, now slated for 2 days instead of one, and more action is needed.
You know, we've been talking about doing something year after year, and we do a little bit more, but every year it seems to get a little bit worse.
Herman wants Champaign Mayor Jerry Schweihart to act immediately to ban campus town bars from serving drinks during unofficial St. Patrick's Day until 5 p.m. Schweihart, who's already set the opening time at 11 a.m., says he fears moving it later would just send more students into the streets, creating conditions for a riot. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A property tax relief and reform plan has cleared Indiana's Republican-controlled Senate, with supporters saying it will provide significant relief for property taxpayers, especially homeowners. But there is plenty of work yet to be done on the sweeping proposal. The bill next moves to a conference committee where Democrat and Republican negotiators from the House and Senate will work to find a compromise on the nearly 900-page bill. The House and Senate versions of the bill differ on many details, but both would cap property tax bills, shift some local levies to the state, and increase the sales tax to help pay for the relief. The chief financial officer of Tribune Company says he won't hesitate to sell the naming rights to Wrigley Field, even if baseball purists don't like the idea. During an interview on CNBC, Sam Zell says despite Wrigley Field being known worldwide, he didn't get a discount because he wasn't going to use the naming rights that the field represents. Zell said he plans to sell the Cubs and Wrigley separately and in his own time frame. He also disclosed that Major League Baseball has approved 4 or 6 potential ownership groups and that any one of them would be fine. The sale of the team has been delayed by Zell's plan to sell the team and the stadium separately and to have a state agency acquire and renovate Wrigley. That has prompted grumbling from some potential ownership groups. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Some Illinois business owners say the statewide smoking ban is hurting their bottom line. And after only a couple of months in effect, there are already attempts to make exceptions to the law. But there's disagreement over how that should be done, if at all. Jenna Dewey has this report.
Ed Scooby owns a neighborhood bar in Grandview, a small community outside of Springfield. In order to cater to his clientele after the statewide ban took effect, Scooby got creative. He opened up a smoking lounge in a building connected to his bar. It's separate from where liquor is sold and technically allowed as one of the few exceptions to the law. Patrons only need to walk through a connecting door to go from the bar to the smoking lounge. The lounge is far from glamorous, just a few tables with ashtrays, but Scooby says it keeps his customers happy. While groups that pushed for the statewide ban say it will make workplaces healthier by eliminating secondhand smoke, Scooby says it's hurting business. While he'd like to see the ban overturned, he's disappointed with the attempts being made to weaken the law.
And now they're talking about a special permit that bars can buy. Well, that's just a complete turnaround. That means it's not about the health, it's about the money.
That proposal would allow casinos and bars that serve little or no food to apply for a smoking permit. If the proposal becomes law, municipalities would decide how many permits to issue and how much they would cost. Carroll Stream Republican Representative Randy Ramey says his plan is not an exemption at all.
A business owner will have to say, okay, let's say I do get a smoking license, but the guy next to me does not. And since more people are not smoking, are more people going to go to that establishment instead of mine? So when people say, you know, it's an exemption, that's not true. These are licenses, purchasing, and based on business decisions.
But patrons at Scooby's Bar aren't getting on board with the plan.
If it's no smoking in our state, statewide, it shouldn't be in any businesses.
No exceptions.
With the state law now being statewide, they don't have a choice. It puts it all on a level playing field.
If they're making a law, it needs to be a law for everybody.
The American Lung Association fought for the statewide ban and is also against tweaking it to help out certain establishments. They've been able to fight back attempts so far, even for private clubs like American Legion Halls or VFWs. That's despite complaints about its financial impact. Illinois' riverboat casinos are reporting fewer gaming dollars since the ban went into effect. The industry says gamblers like to smoke, and if they can't do it at Illinois casinos, they'll go elsewhere, including riverboats in neighboring states. Kathy Dre with the Lung Association isn't buying that argument. She says if casino revenue has dipped, it has more to do with the economy than a smoking ban. Dre says the ban is about much more than dollars and cents.
You know, when you think about the person that works in the casino that's exposed to secondhand smoke every single day in their shift, and the possibilities of them getting something like lung cancer, heart attack, I just don't know how you can qualify business economics compared to that person being sick because of the exposure to a carcinogen at work every single day.
At Scoobies in Grandview, the health risks of cigarettes is understood. But for Donna Flanner and Charlene Vonnell, they say smokers are being singled out.
Smoking's not good for you, but is drinking good for you? And wouldn't you rather somebody hit you that's been smoking a pack of cigarettes than having a six-pack of beer in them?
Five shots of whiskey.
Yeah.
The failed efforts to rework the smoking ban could mean lawmakers want to give it more time to get a better idea of the true impact it will have. Anti-smoking advocates hope the longer it's in place, the more incentive it will give people to quit. In the meantime, smokers are staying in the few refuges they have left. I'm Jenna Dooley.
Mostly cloudy skies today, scattered flurries in our forecast, the high around 25 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 12. Mostly cloudy on Thursday, the high around 32 degrees. Cloudy skies tomorrow night, a chance of snow in the evening, then a chance of rain or snow after midnight, the low around 28 degrees. Temperatures steady or slowly rising after midnight, with south winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy Friday, a high around 38. Partly cloudy Friday night and Saturday, with lows around 22, the high around 42. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyll.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.